The NCAA basketball tournament is heading into its last weekend. Last night on the show, we previewed the women's Final Four matchups. They're happening tonight. So now we turn to the men. It would not be March Madness without surprises and upsets. And this year, of course, did not disappoint. But could there be even more to come? Well, Andy Katz is here to help answer that and to set expectations as we head into the Final Four. He's a sideline reporter for TNT Sports. Hey again, Andy.
Hello, Marie-Louise. How are you?
I am great. I will remind people, you and I last spoke a week ago. Back then, it was the Sweet 16. If you had been living in a cave since then, what's happened? Catch us up.
Well, first of all, if memory serves, I think your son's bracket is still alive because we talked about UConn and Purdue.
Good memory. So, yes, my teenagers are rooting hard for Purdue.
Yes, so UConn and Purdue are still alive. They've been the two most dominant teams throughout the course of the season and potentially on a collision course for a matchup Monday night for the national championship. But they have to get by Alabama and NC State respectively. And you don't think about Alabama in the context of any kind of Cinderella or anything like that because of its dominance in college football. But it's crazy. Alabama has never been to the men's basketball Final Four. And last year they were number one seed with a lottery pick. And they didn't get there. This year, they have a collection of transfers, and they are here after upsetting North Carolina last week in L.A. and then Clemson to face off against the Goliath in UConn. As for NC State, they're on a magical run.
Yeah, they came in as what, like 11th seed in this tournament?
Yes. Well, what's crazy is they lost their last four regular season games. They had to win the ACC tournament just to get in, which meant winning five games in 5 days, which has never happened before. And they've knocked off their rivals in the ACC tournament. They beat Duke and Carolina, and then they had to go through Duke again in the Elite Eight last weekend in Dallas. And NC State as an 11th seed is a true Cinderella in the context of that. And the last time they were in the Final Four was 1983. If they were to beat Purdue and then possibly UConn, I would say it would be right up there with one of the greatest upsets that we've seen. And certainly comparable to what NC State did in 83.
Okie doke. So are you watching for anything specific in tomorrow's games? Specific plays, players, strategy?
Well, for Alabama, they're going to have to make threes. They made 16 to beat Clemson. I witnessed, because I was on the sideline covering it last weekend in Boston, and I've never seen in 3 decades of covering the sport a 30-0 run that UConn put on Illinois. And that's because of turnovers and quick shots. And Alabama just cannot do that, or else they're just going to run into this freight train that UConn has become by beating everyone by double digits. As for NC State, their guards are going to have to make shots and turn Purdue over for them to have a chance. You know, if there's one team that I think could beat UConn, it is Purdue. And so I hate to say I'm kind of rooting for the story, Mary Louise, because I think that's the story we want to see on Monday night.
The Purdue-UConn story. Okay, I don't know if you're allowed to make a prediction on who will take it all in that championship game on Monday, but I'll try to tempt you. If you had to put your money on a team, it would be?
Well, I don't put my money on, but I do make predictions. but I will go with UConn. You know, I have to put out a bracket. So I did put out my bracket, and I had a UConn-Purdue final. So I'm going to stick with it. And then with UConn winning back-to-back titles for the first time since Florida did it in 06-07.
Andy Katz, bracketology expert and sideline reporter for TNT Sports. Good luck to all the teams. We'll see what happens. Thank you.
Thank you.
60 years ago, Terry Riley's pioneering composition, In C, premiered in San Francisco. The event helped launch a style of music later called minimalism. A major label recording of In C 4 years later helped enshrine the work as a classic. There have been many recordings of In C since this one, but a new version featuring cellist Maya Beiser has caught the ear of our reviewer, NPR's Tom Heisinga.
Armed with just her cello, a looping machine, and a pair of percussionists, Maya Beiser puts her own stamp on In C that is by turns mesmerizing and graceful, like when she unspools long, flowing lines above thrumming beats. Before we go too far, I better tell you how NC is built. Its blueprint contains 53 musical riffs, you might call them, little modules that performers can play in order but at their discretion. It all starts with a pulse. Now, normally, the piece is played by at least a dozen or more performers. Beiser takes it on only with stacks of her cello loops and drummers Shane Shanahan and Matt Kilmer. Here's their opening pulse, 120 beats a minute. Hear it? Dun, 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 dun. It's easy to cherry-pick little samples on this album, but that's not the best way to listen. It's more rewarding to surrender to large swaths of the music. That way, you can either zone out in a meditative state or zoom in, as if gazing at an Escher drawing or a Persian carpet to discover fresh, hidden patterns. Here's one that morphs right before your ears. The foundation for Beiser's rendition is the droning low C string of her cello. The metallic twang of the string careens off drum beats early on in the piece, one of many danceable moments. Less turns out to be more here. By limiting the instrumentation to only cello loops and drums, Beiser increases transparency, and the result leaves room for something many performances of NC don't offer: supremely exhilarating grooves. A third of the way through Beiser's NC, something surprising emerges: the sound of vocals, proof that there is a human behind all of the electronics. Beiser's husky chuffs intertwine with each other and the cello to create a hiccup effect called hocketing that dates back to medieval times. Maya Beiser's musical journey is one of mind and body, and offers other engaging stopovers, from an oasis of calm to Led Zeppelin-like headbanging. So, if you have a spare hour to let this singular hypnotic music wash over you, the world might just seem a little brighter.
The album is Terry Riley in C by Maya Beiser. Our reviewer is NPR's Tom Huizenga.